Scripture reading this morning comes from John chapter 19, verses 25 through 30. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Then Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples whom he loved standing by. He said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciples, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that the disciples took her to their own house. After this, Jesus, knowing that all were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, and said, "I thirst." Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they and they filled a sponge of sour wine and put it on Hopkins. and put it to his mouth. So then Jesus had received the sour wine. He said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit.
6 long hours of excruciating pain. Jesus is suspended on the cross. He is held there by iron spikes through his hands and through his feet. The only way that he can catch another breath is to push himself up against the nails that are in his feet and strain and pull against the nails that are in his hand. His chest muscles are paralyzed, and all of these things are happening to him at the expense of maddening pain. During these painful moments, Jesus utters 7 phrases that we are aware of from the writing of the Gospels. And it's absolutely amazing to me that this man hangs there on the cross on that day in tremendous pain, and yet he thinks about other people instead of himself. During this moment of crucifixion, he thought about the Roman soldiers. He thought about the Jewish officials. And here he thought about us as we crucify him again and again with our sins. And he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He thought about the thief on the cross who said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He knew his situation was real. He knew that he was a sinner, and he knew that Jesus was not. But Jesus, looking at him with love and understanding, said to this thief on the cross, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." Again, thinking of someone else. But I guess the most touching and tender of all of the scenes that took place at Calvary was his statement to his mother. He looks down from the cross and he sees his mother, and he said, "Woman, behold your son." In other words, "Look at me. Here I am, giving my life." And then he looked at the disciple John, and he said to John, "John, behold your mother." Imagine, if you will, with his chin resting on the chest that is now hurting, his eyes riveting down to the ground. And he turns his attention to his mother. No doubt she had been there all along, and he is focusing his attention on her. And he addresses her and her future needs. I think there is a lot that we can learn from this episode in Jesus' life as he looks down at his mother. And not this morning, I would like for us to look at some challenges for us today in the church that we can learn from this scene of Jesus and his mother. First of all, I think we can see Mary's faithfulness to him. And I think we should be challenged by that. When we think about what is happening now on this day, we have to understand Jesus is not the only one suffering here. Mary's heart is broken. Her strength is gone. Emotionally, she is a wreck. And she stands there and she looks up at her son and she feels hopeless. She feels helpless. But I want you to know this morning, my friends, that she is an amazing lady. Because we can think back upon her life and we know that it was a happy day when her and Joseph took Jesus into the temple to present him to the Lord. And while they were there, when Jesus was just an infant, the prophet Simeon came and he took Jesus and put him in his arms and he blessed God. And then he said to Mary in Luke 2, verse 34 and 35, he said, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against." And then in verse 35, he said, yes, he looks at Mary and he said, "Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also." And I want to suggest to you this morning, my friends, that Mary felt that sword pierce her many times. She felt that sword pierce her when she found herself pregnant outside of wedlock. Being a Jew, she understood the problem with this and what could happen to her. And can you imagine her standing in front of her family and maybe in front of her friends and having to explain this to them and try to explain it the way it was explained to her by the angel, that she was overcome by the Holy Spirit? No doubt, this was not an acceptable explanation by many of her family and by her friends. And it was a difficult situation for her to be in. She felt that sword again when Jesus was born in a stable and was laid in a manger. That sword struck her in Bethlehem when Herod threatened Jesus with his life. And her and the family had to flee to Egypt to protect her son. She felt that sword as the authorities came to arrest Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, to take him away. She felt that sword when he was beaten, as he stood before Pilate, as he was mocked by Herod, as she heard the insults that came from the crowd against him on that day. And then finally, the sword pierces her heart as she looks up at that cross and she sees her firstborn hanging there, dying there. And there was nothing she could do about it. She sees that crown of thorns, but she cannot remove it. She sees the nails, but she is not allowed to pull them out. She sees the cuts and the bruises, but she is not able to soothe her son's pain. She hears the mockery, but she cannot quiet the voices. Oh yes, she would have definitely been glad to take his place. But she knew that she could not interfere with the divine will of God. And today, we stand with Mary around that cross. Today, of all days, Mother's Day. And I think we need to be challenged by Mary's attitude Mary's love and Mary's commitment to her son. Secondly, we need to be challenged to love our parents the way Jesus loved his. You know, one day on Mount Sinai, lightning struck, thunder rolled, and the finger of God engraved commandments on a table of stone to be given to his children for a law for them to abide by as they travel through the wilderness. These commandments are restated over and over again, Old and New Testament alike. One of them is to honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land which the Lord God is giving to you. Paul reiterates that command in Ephesians chapter 1. He said, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long upon the earth." And I want you to know this morning, my friends, that this commandment goes far beyond the obedience that we give our parents when we are children. Because you see, this commandment, honor your father and mother, it is something that is filled with love. It is something that should be filled with appreciation, affection, gratitude, and respect. Not that you had it when you was a child, but that you have it now. And that you will always have this love, this appreciation, and this respect for your parents. Jesus was the perfect example to challenge us to love our parents. The Bible says that Jesus made himself subject to Joseph and Mary in his youth. In fact, at the wedding in Cana, when Jesus was already an adult, it was his mother Mary who brought to his attention a need at that wedding that would lead to his first miracle. And he honored her by attending to that need. And his obligation to honor his mother continued even up to the point of his death. Listen to me, please. Just because we are no longer under the control of our parents is no reason for us to believe that our obligations to them has ceased. They are our parents. Parents to whom we owe a great debt of respect. A debt that obligates us to them by God himself. And even if your parents are deceased, you still need to remember that they gave you the very foundation of your life. You are what you are basically because of them. You have been given their thinking. You have been given their reasoning. And you may be even sitting here today a Christian because of the influence of your mother and father. And it is wrong for us to think that we can be God's people and that we can reverence him while ignoring and taking for granted our parents. Jesus, in the agony of the cross, in the moment that he was giving salvation to the world, he thought of his mother. And my friends, don't let this day get away from you without saying to your mother, "I love you." And I have to say this as a father, it wouldn't hurt Dad to hear it either. Third thing, we need to be challenged with his repentance. Go with me to the Garden of Gethsemane. Here we find Jesus has asked Peter, James, and John to pray with him because he knows what is about to happen. Watch and pray, he said. But Peter, James, and John, all three, carelessly fell asleep. And when the Jewish officials and when the Roman soldiers came to arrest Jesus, Matthew tells us that all of the disciples deserted him and ran, including John, the one whom he loved. But the good news is John came back. John is standing at the cross beside his mother. And notice that when we read this story that Jesus does not rebuke John for leaving, for John was one who ran like the others did. Instead, John is given an awesome responsibility. John, I want you to take care of my mother. Jesus was then and was always ready to forgive anyone who would repent and come back to do the right thing. He is always ready to restore us if we are willing to come home. John came back to the cross, and Jesus knew it. We also are challenged with responsibility. I think this tells us that if you stand near the cross, and we all as Christians claim that we stand near the cross, and if you do, you can expect Jesus to give you some kind of responsibility. He expects you to accomplish in life something for him. You know, any one of us would probably have said, yes, Jesus, I will take your mother and I will take care of her as John did. But I'm going to tell you, my friend, Jesus said something else in his teachings. He said, for as often as you do it to the least of these, you do it unto me. Jesus is saying, my mother, my brother, my sister is the one that you are to help today. And it may be a child. It may be a widow. It may be a shut-in. It may be someone who is sick. It may be something as simple as a smile that can make someone that is hurting feel better. It may be a hug. It can be a word of encouragement. It may be offering a prayer for someone. It might be that helping hand reaching out to give assistance to someone who is in need. It may be understanding their problem and helping them to figure their problem out. It could be forgiveness, and it could be sympathy. The question is, are you ready to care for them? You see, we are just like John. We are standing close to the cross as his children. We are the eyes, the ears, the heart, the hands, the feet, the lips of Jesus in this world. It may be you that brings a soul to Christ. It may be something that you have said. It may be something that you have done. It may simply be an attitude that you have. You see, the mother of Jesus is all around us. Are you ready to take care of them? Today, we learn to honor our parents. We honor God as our Father, and we honor Him through obedience. We have learned that God blesses us so well and we have learned that we need to follow him. If you are here this morning and you are not a Christian, you can become one today through faith. You can give your life to him. You can repent of your sins. You can change your life. You can put off that old man and put on that new, that righteous living. You can confess Jesus for who he is, the Son of the living God. And you can be buried with him in baptism for the remission of sins. Your sins can be removed. You can be redeemed. You can be exalted because Jesus went to the cross. Perhaps you are a child of God and you have done these things. It may be that you also have some repenting to do. Perhaps you have walked away from that cross. Perhaps you have gone back into the cold, cruel world that has took you away from your Father and his Son and the Holy Spirit. And now you are given an opportunity, as John did, to come back to the cross, to see once again what your Savior has done for you, and to know within your heart that you need to return and give your life to him once again. Remember, Mary stood at the cross and she looked up at her Son. We need to stand at that cross and look up at our Savior. This morning, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing this song.